Okay, so hello everybody. I'm Kaylee, as Connie said, and I am just very happy to be here this morning, talking with you all, sharing some thoughts I had here on this snowy day about the topic Don't Limit Yourself in the book we're studying by Ernest Holmes. And if you've heard my talks before, I like to start, or I like to include just a gentle little meditation, or just a session where we can be quiet. And I like to do some visualization, because we have stuff going on. It's Sunday morning. You might have had breakfast. You might have had some family over. Probably not right now, but if you need to kind of take a moment, I like to start and give us all just a moment. And I'm very inspired this morning by the snow here in Virginia. So let's just take a couple minutes here and just start by closing your eyes if you'd like to. And if you don't want to, that's okay. And just take a deep breath in and let it go. I'd like us to start, because, like I said, I'm inspired by the snow, so I'd like to imagine us. We're in a cabin, and it's the classic sort of picturesque log cabin, and it's warm and it's cozy, and there's a fire crackling in the fireplace, spreading sparks that are gold and tangerine, scarlet, warming the space, casting light and shadows beautifully across the wood. And there's light inside, light that is warm and golden. And we're just sitting at the table, enjoying the warmth of the fire and looking outside. And outside, the snow is falling. The flakes are big and fluffy, like something from your childhood dreams. And the snow on the ground sparkles, sparkles like a million diamonds in glitter. And the world, it's like it's been tucked in by the snow. It's under a blanket and it's resting and relaxing, taking a moment to just be still. And in the warmth of this cabin, we just sit and we enjoy and we watch. And we admire the beauty, the strength of the spruce trees, the evergreens that are tall and strong with the fluffy snow along their edges. Maybe the occasional critter that runs through the snow, looking for some food or just a place to relax, like we are. And this fire that burns strong in the hearth, maybe it's helped warm up some tea or hot chocolate or some coffee. And the aroma fills the cabin. And you sit with a mug of your drink of choice, just relaxing. A deep breath in and an exhale. Know that this space is safe, safe and relaxed, and that during this time you can just be, you can just listen, you can just breathe. And your mind and your spirit and your soul knows what you need to take in, what lessons you need to hear and learn. And it'll soak it in. Like Dr. Joseph Murphy says, through a form of spiritual osmosis. And that light in the fire represents the light within each of us, warm and strong and growing, spreading its love and warmth wherever it's needed and wanted. One more inhale and breathe out. Now you can come back to the physical space and open your eyes again, if you'd like. If you didn't close your eyes in the first place, that's fine. We're back here in this space, and I thank you for being a part of that, because like I said, I like to do a little bit of a breather, a moment of peace, and connecting with our spiritual energetic selves. And so I welcome you to this talk of Don't Limit Yourself. And I want to start by sharing, you know, some wonderful synchronicities happened this week where I was like thinking about the talk. And I ended up having some things happen that fit quite perfectly. So one of the first little anecdotes I want to share is I was with my grandmother for her 76th birthday this past weekend. Some of you may know that I was raised in a very religious household, a traditional religion. And it comes from the fact that she herself was a practicing Jehovah's Witness for many years. And to each their own, you know, if it brings you comfort, if it brings you joy, that's wonderful. And it did, it helped her through some very hard times. And so she and I were sitting and discussing God. And we have different beliefs of God. You know, some people believe that God's name is Yahweh, Jehovah. Some Allah, some just God, you know, you don't have a name. And so we were just kind of chatting about what the nature of God was and sort of where, I've been thinking about this a lot, just where God kind of comes from and this concept. And I've been reading a book called The History of God by a woman, I can't remember her name, but she was a former nun and she just did a study of God through the three main Abrahamic religions. And so I've been reading that and just, I was chatting with my grandma and, you know, like I said, we have some different opinions and that's okay. That's fine. Different opinions are what make life such a cool smorgasbord, and you can choose what you want and what you feel resonates with you. And you know what resonates with you because you're exposed to things that don't. And so that contrast is helpful. But we're chatting and she kept saying things that struck me. Things like, no, no, no. God can't have a wife. God can't be married. For a long time, she believed that God couldn't only be a man. And it was interesting to hear these things. And finally, I said to her, you're putting a lot of limits on God. And that was interesting because I was like, oh, ding, that's what I'm talking about. You know, don't limit yourself, limits. And I was like, okay, you're putting a lot of limits on God. And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, you're looking at God through a very human 3D point of view. And then we started talking about God as a loving God. And I struggled for many years with a fear of God and an anger toward God, because God to me was a guy who sat in the sky in a throne with a sword, had a beard, and judged you. And then sent you to hell when you didn't do what he wanted. And I said, I remembered a conversation I'd had with Connie, and she said, you know, something had happened in my personal life. And she said, I said something along the lines of, you know, I feel like God needs to forgive me. And she said something like, well, what if God never stopped loving and never needs to forgive you because he never stopped loving and was harmony? And I thought that was really interesting. So I said to my grandma, I said, what if God never stops loving and being perfect harmony and beauty? And she said something like, okay, no, no, no. If you're, and apologies is kind of dark. She was like, if you're a murderer and you don't stop murdering, God turns away from you and doesn't protect you and love you. And I said, again, you're putting limits on God. So it was an interesting conversation. And, you know, we just left it as it was. You know, we knew we were going to disagree on some things, and that's okay. But it really got me thinking about the limits that we put on God. And if we put limits on God, think about the limits we put on ourselves. So it was an interesting, I don't want to call it like a thought experiment, but it was an interesting experience to be sharing that time with her and chatting. And so when I dived into the chapter, the first thing that Holmes talks about is a connection with God. And so I wanted to start with, based on that, you know, what we sort of believe God is in divine science, in new thought. And just to put it simply, God is all that is good. God is all that is high frequency, because it's been proven with science that things that are positive, love, hope, joy, laughter, they have a literal higher frequency energetically than fear, sadness, or anger, which is low frequency. So God is all that is high frequency. God is harmony. God is this beautiful snow falling in the peace of the world. God is the fact that, you know, that we have a warm, safe space, that we have people out there who have shelters for people who don't have a warm, warm, safe space. God is all that is good, that kindness in people's hearts. And I'm going to go back real quick to my conversation further with my grandma, which was, we started talking about Satan, right? And I had a whiteboard in front of me because I was studying Spanish too. I study languages for fun. And I have a whiteboard that I use to do my vocabulary. So I had a whiteboard in front of me and I said, well, Grandma, here's how I think of it. And I wrote God. And I said, and God can be whatever you want to call it. We were raised with, you know, Yahweh, Jehovah, but it's God. And so God is all that is good. And I said, Satan literally translates to the adversary. And it's all that's low frequency. And so, and if you study tarot, the devil card is actually just a representation of all that is carnal, or everything that's focused on the 3D human world rather than a spiritual connection with spirit, source, or God. So God is all that's good. And so Satan, or the devil, if you will, in air quotes, is a disconnection from that. And so, you know, if there is darkness and there is sadness, or there are people doing bad things, which unfortunately there are, because for whatever reason, our souls have chosen to incarnate in this existence, in this physical existence, in this planet Earth, where there is contrast, and there are hard times, and there are struggles. And there are people who make choices that are separated from God. And so to be one with God, like Holmes talks about, is to realize that God is all that is good and beautiful, harmonious, compassion, kindness, love, light, warmth. And realizing that we by default are a part of that. We don't need a priest. We don't need forgiveness. We don't need someone to pray over us or to struggle in any way to be close to God, because we by default are one with God. I've used the example before, and I'll change it from rain to snow, inspired by today. But if God is the big, beautiful snow cloud, each of us is a snowflake, separate and beautiful, in our own unique ways and physically incarnated differently than the snow cloud right now, but a part of the snow cloud nonetheless. And there's a quote that Holmes uses from a mathematician in the chapter. And it says something like, you know, progress is realizing that God has given us a spark of his infinite knowledge. And so just remember that we are each a spark of that beautiful beauty and harmony and love and compassion, and everything that's in God is in us. Another great example that I've been given a lot while studying this is, if you have one big main flame, you know, back in the olden days, they had the Yule log, which was the first log or whatever lit in the new year. And all the hearth fires were lit from that log. And so if you think of it that way, we each have that warmth and that spark and that fire, you know, from the opening meditation, even within us, from God. So the first thing to realize is that we are a part of God. And so if God is limitless, and God is beauty, and God is strength, and God is compassion, and God is kindness, then we are all that as well. We might sometimes have experiences in our 3D human world where there's contrast. But again, that contrast helps us to realize what we want and what we don't want. You know, if you're cold, you realize, well, dang, I really want a blanket. And so we can learn in some way that the struggles or whatever you're going through can help us learn and have some perspective and grow. Because in the studies that I've done and I've read books by Abraham and other New Thought authors, Judge Troward, Holmes, Emmett Fox, and other sort of people who have channeled universal wisdom, they say that Earth is a learning planet, right? And I heard it as a joke once that, like, if if aliens drove by Earth, you know, they'd lock their doors, right? It can be a struggle sometimes, but we're here because our souls have decided that this was our next step, that we want to learn and grow. And the first step is to remember that we're always connected to God. There's never a struggle to be connected to God. We don't have to struggle to be connected. We can just take a deep breath and say, hey, I know you're with me, God, and I know you're in me, God. I'd like to feel that connection. Or you can look outside and look at the snowflakes and remember that beauty is within you. Or cuddle with a blanket or an animal or pet. Or eat a delicious bit of food and be like, all right, that's God. So that's the first step that Holmes talks about. And then Holmes talks about the law. Now, the law, I'll never forget when I first was introduced to The Secret. If you've seen The Secret DVD, there's a speaker on there named Reverend Michael Beckwith. And he always has a quote that I love. It's energy goes where attention flows. Energy goes where attention flows. So the law is that what we put our focus on comes about. What we think about, we bring about. The law is that what we intend, what we literally, our brains are so powerful. Our brains are so powerful. They're computers. You know, neuroscientists don't even know the full power of the brain yet. We're still figuring it out in 2021. Our brains are so powerful. And I've had experiences in my life where I've truly realized that, like that movie with Keanu Reeves, we kind of live in a simulation where our thoughts and our feelings, and here's the important part, our intentions, a feeling or emotion or something that we stick with and focus on, literally programs and creates our world. Okay? And that's the law. Okay. And I also want to come in here and say that when I talk about not limiting ourselves, we have to do realize that we are living by laws here on this earth. So I'm not saying you can step off your balcony and work against the law of gravity. You know, there are certain physical laws that we're bound by in this life, but that's okay. Because again, we've chosen to be here on earth where we have these laws and we're learning with these laws alongside these laws. And like Holmes talks about, one of them is that, you know, we create our world. We are a part of God. That creation of God is within us. We have that same creative power. And so Holmes discusses what the important thing is, what we put as the raw content into this law. Because the law is going to act. It's going to do things, whether or not, you know, we are a part of it and work with it. And I was thinking this morning of how I wanted to put this into an analogy, and it came to me, like, because I was like going to make cookies today, maybe for the Super Bowl. Go Tom Brady. I was thinking it's like a mixer, right? Like once you plug in the mixer, it's going to go. The mixer is going to go. The law is going to act. The law is going to be itself. We could put flour and eggs and butter into the mixer, or you could put, I don't know, a salad and mix up the salad and ruin the salad. You know, whatever you put in there is going to be acted upon by the mixer. Whatever you put in there is going to be acted upon by the law. So be aware of the raw content, as Holmes puts it, that you put into your world and your mind. And this comes back to, you know, what your intention will be, because I'm a person and I have a tendency to be very obsessive, right? And if I sat here and obsessed over every single thought I had, I'd go insane, because we have like some 700,000 thoughts a day. And thank goodness it's not like a genie where you snap your fingers and what you've thought about, you know, happens. Because if that was the case, I'd have like 1,000 puppies that I could not handle, because I love puppies. You know, we have to realize that what the deal is what we focus on, right? So if I have an intention that I want to start sleeping better, I'm going to start setting aside time during the day to focus on that. So it's, there was a wonderful example that someone shared on the Secrets website. And it was like, a positive thought is so very powerful. If you imagine your brain and the universe as a big pool, a negative thought is a teeny weeny little drop of food coloring. It's not going to make a huge difference. But a positive thought, it's so powerful. And Joseph Murphy uses an example in his books that you can have a pail of dirty water that's negativity and being bummed out and being discouraged and being like, you know, dang, like my manifestation hasn't happened in the physical yet, and I'm really bummed, or I'm not sleeping, or I have a bill to pay. You can have a pail of that dirty water, but each positive thought is clean water. And slowly and surely, if you keep up that clean water, it may take a while, but guess what? That pail is going to overflow with the nasty stuff and be filled with the good water. And Holmes says next, he talks about, and this was really powerful to me. Well, there's two things that are really powerful to me that Holmes talked about. And one is that don't limit yourself because you're one with God, right? So he said, to believe that you are struggling, to believe that life is a struggle, to believe that you're sad and you're angry and you're bitter, and that's what you're meant to be, not a temporary feeling, because guess what? We all sometimes feel sad, angry, bitter, tired. That's just life in this world. But to have, if you ever met somebody who just really feels like, and they're always like, life is a struggle and life is meant to be miserable. He says, if you think like that, well, then if we're a part of God, you're thinking that God is bitter, angry, a struggle, is miserable, is sad, is sickly. And like, that's a crazy thought. God? No, not God. Not us. Not us either. We are what God is. So don't limit yourself with thoughts of, okay, it has to be a struggle. No. Our true form is warmth and love and beauty and the spark of creativity and creation that made us in the womb. You know, we had a spark of God in us as we were forming, as we were growing. Our bodies and souls knew how to do that, because God was within us from the start and always is. And the next thing Holmes talks about is branching off of that. The real key to lifting up limitations is to respect yourself. And that is hard to do. You know, I'm 28 years old, and I grew up in a generation where we had online our whole lives, and Facebook and Instagram and all that. And there are days like when I go on Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I look nothing like these people. I have no lives like these people. And you realize our society in this day and age can really make you feel like crap about yourself. So Holmes is saying, no, have respect for yourself. Have respect for yourself. And he says, this isn't a respect that comes from conceit. This is a respect that comes from a humble awe. That where we come from, what we come from. I'm watching a show called The Last Kingdom on Netflix, and the main character, he comes from a really great kind of warlord prince, right? And so every time he's feeling down about himself, he always is like, I come from a line of warlord kings or whatever, right? And that's what we need to realize about ourselves. We come from God. We come from a line of creativity and beauty and harmony and all the majesty that is this universe. We come from that. Have respect for yourself. Have respect for yourself. And I kind of wanted to talk here at the end about ways to do that and ways to change these limiting thoughts. And it was really great because Jen Fay sent out this week throughout things about nonviolence and growing and learning in that regard, the week of nonviolence or something of that sort. And there was a email that talked about limiting beliefs. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect for, again, all these beautiful synchronicities. And then also today, or actually yesterday, I found a YouTube video about how to learn a language in 6 months and how people have put limits on how we perceive how we learn and how we grow. And this guy was doing a TED talk and he's like, no, we're actually so insanely capable of so many things. So we have these limiting beliefs that have come from childhood, that have come from things that happened in school, whatever. You know, the first 6 years of your life, your energy centers are wide open, right? So anything that you're hit with in those first 6 years of your life is really going to ingrain within you. And, you know, let's be real here. Sometimes our parents were struggling with this or that, or where we were growing up, we had some issues. And that's a part, again, of being human, but we have limiting beliefs now. So what do? Well, the first things Holmes says, the one thing that Holmes really says to do is make a list, actually, of what thoughts are going out. What raw content are you putting into the law? The mixer of this world and the law in your brain. Take a seat and like just kind of think about what you're putting out there and like write down the first five thoughts you have. And think about it and be like, wow, you might be surprised at how limiting it is. And then from there, I like to do is I change it to a positive, right? So if I say, I've never slept well, my whole life, I just don't have good sleep. I would write that down and I'd do a little arrow and I'd say, okay, well, let's change to what I want to believe, which is that there was a beautiful passage from Dr. Joseph Murphy that I wrote down and rediscovered when I was going through some notes, is that I'm surrounded by a circle of love. I walk and I live in God. I sleep in peace and I wake in joy. In God, I live and breathe and have my being. And that was beautiful. And I've had that by my bedside. And so now I say my prayers at night and I simply say, bless me with sleeping in peace and waking in joy. And there's other ways to tackle limiting beliefs, you know, aside from writing them down and rewording them and reevaluating them. Affirmative prayer is the biggest one that we practice. And literally, I remember Joseph Murphy used an example of he was talking with a father who needed a job. And he's like, I got two sons and I got to get this job and I got to have an income. And Joseph Murphy gave him an affirmative prayer of God's love and a bounty abounds. And I'm provided for. And the guy did it for a week and he's like, this is ridiculous. This isn't making a difference. And Dr. Murphy said, no, stick with it. And like I mentioned at the start of the talk, through spiritual osmosis, your brain will soak up the new truth. Your brain, which is that pail filled with maybe some dirty water right now, as you keep adding that clean, fresh water, will will clean itself out. And so this gentleman, I'll just finish the story real quick. He did this for, I think it was like 4 weeks, and he met an old boss and like on the street, just walking down the street one day. And the guy was like, oh my gosh, come work for me. You know? And it was because this man kept up with it. He did it twice a day. He said this prayer twice a day for a few minutes. And it happened. And his brain took it in. And so affirmative prayer, writing down what isn't working, deciding how you want it to change, and using that as an affirmative prayer. There's EFT, emotional freedom technique, which is tapping on meridian points that can help clear out energy regarding beliefs. There's EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization, rapid desensitization therapy, something like that. And it's a process by which you would typically work with someone if you have the means to do it, and you move the eyes and you go through old beliefs. And, you know, as you move your eyes, your brain's kind of distracted and processing trauma and things. So that's another form. There's other forms of healing. There's quantum healing. There's something called Psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-K, that again works with the left and right brain. So there's methods and there's ways to get through these limiting beliefs. But at the core, it's about realizing you come from love and God and respecting yourself. You know, people walk into churches and temples and light candles and pray and sit or chant or give offerings. And then they go home and they say, I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. I'm ruining my own life. I'm blah, blah, blah. And they don't realize that the same thing that they've just worshipped, that they've just gone and given offerings to or prayers or candles to, is the same thing they're seeing when they look in the mirror. And so I leave you with that thought and the idea that you are something so great and so loved, and that God loves you so very much. And that you can lift the limits on yourself when you realize that you are of God. God is always by your side and within you. We'll give you the strength to change what you need. And we'll lead you to the method that's the best way to do that. And it's absolutely possible. And that is such a blessing to know that we are connected always to the beauty and the majesty of the universe in that way. Always connected to love. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Good thought.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
You always inspire me, Kaylee. I just look at you and I think how you're 8 years younger than I was when I first discovered.